This picture a few weeks ago, and it just struck me. It was in a blog that a guy had taken, and the little caption that this person had written underneath is, there is one person in this picture who understands what Christmas is all about. And it's sometimes hard to realize that joy is something that should be part of our life. In fact, we're going to look at three verses here right quickly that basically command us from the Bible to be joyful, to be rejoicing, to be how important joy is in our life. And the thing about the Bible that always strikes me is that it doesn't sugarcoat the rest of life. It doesn't say, well, you should be joyful because life is always so great. It says, in the midst of all the other things that are going on, the tragedies, the health problems, the fighting, the disputes, all the things going on, and then it says, but be joyful anyway. Doesn't it? It does say that, right? Okay, yeah, I'm just making sure that we're all reading the same Bible here, because sometimes, but in Nehemiah, for example, it says, this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't grieve. There's plenty of things to grieve about, but be joyful. And finding that balance is learning to find joy even in the midst of problems. And let's go ahead and go to Psalm 118. It says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And then in Philippians, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That's a command. There are some things in the Bible that God commands us to do, like rejoice or love one another. And a lot of times we get stuck on that because those things are, in our minds, those things are emotionally driven. Well, I'll rejoice as long as I feel like it. I'll love you as long as I feel like it. I will have faith as long as I feel like it. And that you wonder, well, how can you command somebody to be joyful? Aren't you either joyful or not joyful? It's not out of your control. But the Bible doesn't assume that. The Bible assumes that you have control over that and you can do that, even if somebody has died in your life, like we've had this past week. We have a lady that comes, I don't see her here today, but she's from Paradise. She lost her house, was burned down a couple months ago. We have people that are getting medical diagnosis saying your life is close to ending. We have people who are dealing with tsunamis, and we have people who are dealing with the struggles of life. And then God says, in the midst of all that, rejoice. We go, well, wait a minute. How does that work exactly? How is it that we should rejoice? Do we have to ignore all that stuff and then just say, then just, you know, what's the old song? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be joyful. Well, actually, kind of the Bible does. Do you know what the next verse after this is? Be anxious for nothing. So the opposite of joy then is anxiety or worry or being so pulled down by those other things that you can't have joy. It really is kind of this idea that what are you going to think about? What are you going to focus on? What is it that you're going to orient your thinking around? What is the thing that's going to make your life better? Circumstances change or not change. You don't have as lot of control over that. Sometimes you get cancer or you don't. Somebody dies or they don't. And there's not a lot of control on our part. But the one thing that we can control is, what is our thinking going to be? What are we going to think about? I probably have said this over and over again, but it's probably one of the things that I think about a lot, is this statement, which is, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. Are you ready to rejoice? Or are you ready more to maybe blame God for all the bad things that are going on? Or are you really going to have a bad attitude towards life? I mean, what is it that you think about, generally speaking? So, what prevents us from having joy in the Lord? Not sensing the presence of God. I pray every Sunday morning. The thing that I consistently pray is that when each one of you walks in the door and comes into this building, that you will sense that God is here. That's what I want to see happen. That's what we want to be. You can sense God in the singing. Some people just enjoy the singing, and that's where they feel God. Sometimes people just sense God, you know what, in the fellowship time. I know from talking to people over the years that I've been a pastor that a lot of people come to church, and you know why they come to church? Just to see other people, because that's the highlight of their week. Certainly not the preaching, because that's not what they came for. They came for the fellowship. Maybe the prayer time, just being able to pray for one another and to share prayer requests. Maybe that's where you sense God. And some, occasionally a person does sense the presence of God when the preaching is okay. But we all, that's the idea. We want to sense the presence of God. A lot of times when we don't have joy, I really think that the reason is because we don't see God in whatever situation that we're encountering. We have a hard time contemplating who God is and what God's doing in that. So this week I was studying through and looking through a passage in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 35. It's not the normal one you read about when you read about Christmas stuff. You know, I know if you're here for a Christmas sermon, you're supposed to read the Luke passage or one of the other predictions about Christ's birth. But Isaiah 35 is kind of a general prophecy that says God is working, God is doing things, even if you don't see it. Okay? So we're going to kind of work through Isaiah 35 a little bit. Not take too long. We're going to go through it, because I know all of you have tons of stuff to do for Christmas. So I just want you to take away this idea that no matter how busy you are, no matter how much a problem being with your family is going to be, no matter what problem you have traveling, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. That's what I want you to take from this. So in Isaiah 35, it says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God." Now, what you have is two pictures here. The first part is the desert and parched land, the wilderness. That in the Bible, whenever you see those words talking about the desert or the wilderness, that's always the place where God isn't. Remember when Jesus is starting his ministry, he gets tempted. Where does he go? Into the desert, into the wilderness. When you go into the wilderness, when you go into the desert, you're always in some place where God is either unavailable or not. You don't feel his presence at the very least. Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon are like the best places you could be. It's like kind of like if we wrote this today, we would write, you know, Port Orford in there. Because it's the greatest place to be, right? Best weather, best place to be, to live. Well, Carmel, Sharon, particularly Sharon, but also Lebanon, are a place where there's lots of growing things. It's a beautiful place. It's the exact opposite of the desert or the wilderness. And what God is saying here is all of that place where you think I'm not, the desert, the wilderness, that is going to change. And you're going to be where God is. And when God shows up, it's not going to be a desert or wilderness anymore. It's going to be the best. It's going to be great. So we can rejoice because even in the difficult times, we stop for a second and say, well, yeah, but you know what makes that better? God is here. That's what makes it better. somebody passed away, I'm not feeling very well, I'm injured, I'm sick, whatever I'm having difficulties dealing with my family, whatever that issue is, it's still there, but having God there makes it better. Having God there makes it better. And that is where we want to orient ourselves towards thinking that. Now, we're going to go on to the next. Which way did I do this? Okay. So what prevents us from having joy in the Lord? Not sensing the presence of God because we are fearful. Look at the next couple of verses here in Isaiah. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Right now, you're in a difficult place, maybe. Maybe you've got some real problems in your life and you're not sure how you're going to deal with them. And Isaiah says, God will come. He will be there. He will save you. He will be on your side. He will be there. Strengthen. Be strong, do not fear. That picture of feeble hands and steady the knees that give away. You know what happens when you get frayed, right? Your knees start to shake and you're kind of weak in the knees and your hands don't feel like you're as strong as you could be. That's all symptoms of being afraid. And God says, when you're afraid, just stop and realize I'll be there. I'm coming. I'll be there. I'll be with you. That's the thing to remember about the name Emmanuel, is that idea of being there no matter what. So fear can cause us to not be joyful, because when our fear, we don't sense the presence of God. We don't feel like God is there. That feeling again. We have to remind ourselves, no, even if I'm afraid, God is there. God will be there. Then the next one is, what prevents us from having joy in the Lord? Not sensing the presence of God because we are suffering. Look at the next section here, starting in verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. When God shows up, it all changes. It all changes. I was talking with Alan, Mary's son, as he came by this week, and we talked a little bit. And one of the things that he shared was that leading up to the days before her surgery, they prayed a lot that she would be, you know, free from pain, that she would be able to get back to a good way of life, and that that she would just be able to do all the things that she wanted to do before, and she would feel better. And we look at that and go, well, but she passed away. But in that sense, she's with God in heaven, and all those things are true now. She is free from pain. She is free from all of that stuff. It's the hope that we have when we put our faith in Christ, that's a response we have. And sometimes that's the way God does things. He says, I'll fix your problem. And we can say, yeah, that's good, God. We thank you for that. We also have the grief of no longer having a friend with us anymore. And the chocolate chip cookies that she always used to bring, and those things. But we can rejoice and find joy in the fact that she is with her Maker now, and she is free from all of these things that we struggle with. But when we're suffering like that, sometimes in our own grief, we just stop feeling the presence of God, and it means that we no longer are able to find joy or rejoice in the things that God says you should find some joy in the midst of all of that. We never want to take the attitude that those things don't happen. We just want to remember that that God is there, even in the midst of all that, and we can find some joy. There's a woman named Fanny Crosby. Have you heard of Fanny Crosby? She wrote many hymns and songs. In fact, the song that we sang this morning that the words were changed from, she wrote the original song. And anyway, Fanny Crosby was blind since childhood and lived to be 95. And she wrote this poem at age 8. Blind but happy. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. That's the choice we have, right? In the midst of suffering, in the midst of fear, in the midst of the things going on around us, we can say, I'm just going to fall into the depth of despair, or I can rejoice, and I can, and I will. That's a choice that we have. That's the thing that we need to do. One more thing that we're going to look at in Isaiah is, what prevents us from having joy in the Lord? Not sensing the presence of God because we are purposeless. And I like that word, purposeless. When was the last time you used purposeless in a sentence? I just did, so you can write that down and say, that's when he did it. But it says in verse 8, and it says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. When it says that there are some people that don't walk there, it's not saying that they're not allowed to walk there. It's saying they choose not to walk there. We have a way that we're supposed to live according to God. This is the way I want you to live. I want you to be joyful. People who don't walk that way end up on a different way. And that is the unhealthy way. That is the way that just creates more problems. That is the way that we're not supposed to walk. We're supposed to have a purpose in life. We're supposed to have the right purpose. Some people's purpose in life does seem to be to make life as miserable as possible for other people. But we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to have our way of doing things, which is, at least part of it, rejoice. Have joy in the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, what kinds of things then are helpful in being joyful? That's where I want to go next. Looked at Isaiah. And I think that this passage is one of those interesting passages where it's not talking about anything necessarily specific, but it is a prophetic word. If you're dealing with these problems, remember, God is there. God is working. God is with you. Are you afraid? Are you suffering? Do you lack direction? Whatever it is that isn't allowing you to be joyful, you can be because God is there. God is working in your life, and he is available. So, how do you sense the presence of God? By gathering to worship. What a surprise. The pastor says, you want to be joyful? Go to church. Isn't that a surprise? How many of you are surprised because I brought that up? One person. Good. Get together. In Psalm 100, there's this description of that was written, and it says this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's just this should be as a theme verse for our worship services. Hopefully when you come, actually this says enter his gates, and his courts with praise, give thanks. I hope basically that people will come here and that when you leave, you will be leaving with thanksgiving and with praise and glory. That when you come here, you will be built up. That's the goal. So that when you leave here, you can go, hey, things aren't so bad. I can rejoice. I talked to people who things are happening to them. Even if they're not to me, they are at least to them. And we can worship together and be reminded of how good God is and what his presence means to us and how he works in our life. And being together is an important way that we are reminded about the presence of God and that God helps us in our fears, or helps us when we're suffering, or helps us, or God is just there, and we can rejoice. That's hopefully, I tell some corny jokes, but hopefully those just contribute to the mood just a little bit, so that there is a little more joy in the life. There's a little more smiling. There's a little more happiness. And you go away with a good feeling. That's what our worship services should be. We want to meet God, and we're going to learn some things about God, and other things are going to go on too. But underneath it is this idea that we're happy to be here, that we're happy to be Christians, to be followers of Christ, that it makes our life better. One amen out of all of that. Yes, amen, exactly. I'm sorry, sometimes I have to wake you up because you're... So, how do you sense the presence of God? By remembering God's blessings. Secondly, how do you sense the... Oh, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? Okay, skip this one and this one. Now go back. See, okay, here's what happened. I decided to change the order, and I'm going to blame Tim for this, because I decided to change the order a little bit because I wanted to do one thing last, and I thought we had it done, but apparently we didn't. So I'm going to try to make it work, okay? But just give me a second, okay? So what's after this? No, I want this one now. How do you sense the presence of God? By wanting what God offers, right? Because at the end of the day, you can say, go to church, but going to church won't help you if you don't really want what God is offering you. So if you're coming to church, you got to want what God is offering, and you got to expect God to be doing something. Okay, that's now go backwards one. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You want joy? Seek God. You got to want God. You got to seek God. God is sitting right there saying, I'm standing right here. I've been standing right here. If you can't find me, it's because you're not looking very hard. I'm here. My presence is here. If you want God, if you want to be more joyful in your life, you got to want what God is offering. Okay, now this is going to be complicated because we have this one more. I think we have to go back one. How do you sense the presence of God? By remembering God's blessing. Now we have to find the one that says, yes. There it is. That's the one we want. You all can read that, right?
Right.
What we're going to do is I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to ask you all together and out loud to say this. Can everybody do that right now? See, this is my own problem is that I didn't think that if I just told you what to say, you would remember it. I thought you would get confused. And see, I don't have a very high, I'm sorry about that. But I did it, but I thought if I put the words up there, y'all can read, and so you can do this together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back through Isaiah 35, and I'm going to read a line, and then I want you all to say, this is part of that worship thing. We're going to remind us. You're going to get tired of saying that in a minute, but that's okay, because I want you to, if on Wednesday, on Christmas Day, on Tuesday, someone's going to ask you, well, what did you do in church? And you're going to say, We said God, exactly, God's love endures forever. We said it over and over again. God's love. In this case, God's love endures forever. That last part, endures forever, means that God is always here. God doesn't go away. It endures. God's love, and therefore his presence, endures. It's always there. It's always, forever. Forever is always, right? What is forever? Always, always. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, something in the distant future. It means it's now and it will continue. It will always be that way. So, here we go. What are you guys going to say again? The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Keep up with me now. You're kind of lacking. You're kind of losing out. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God.
God's love endures forever.
Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear.
God's love endures forever.
Your God will come. He will come to save you.
God's love endures forever.
The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped.
God's love endures forever.
Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy.
God's love endures forever.
Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness.
God's love endures forever.
It will be for those who walk on that way.
God's love endures forever.
Only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return.
God's love endures forever.
They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. And finally, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
God's love endures forever.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your love endures forever. I thank you that your presence can bring us joy, even in the midst of the difficulties of life. I thank you, God, that you encourage us, that you work through other people, that you show us your love in just thousands of ways. God, help us to see what you're doing. Help us to be aware of your presence. God, make it so that everywhere we look, everything that we see reminds us of you and what you're doing in our life. And even in the midst of grieving, even in the midst of suffering, even when we're afraid, just encourage us to know that your love endures forever. And then, God, we will give you the glory and give you the praise and demonstrate our love for you by helping people all around us and being as joyful as we possibly can be. So thank you, God, for the lesson this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand.